Okay, thank you.
Any other questions?
Mayor Pruzanka?
Yeah,
yes, please. This is Patty.
Go ahead, Patty.
Okay, Dr. Pruzanka, one of the community members asked me if the hospital has enough PPE. Do they have a sufficient supply?
That's a very good question. That's one of the reasons that we're so happy to get the rapid test, because we will reduce our risk of running out of PPE. At the moment, we have reasonably healthy supplies if we're careful, and we're taking every opportunity to be as careful as possible. When we talk about what the EMS is doing, we're actually working with the EMS to, if a patient is screened positive, meaning that we think they might be at risk for COVID-19 but don't know yet, if they're screened positive for that but are very stable with something else, they've hurt their foot or something like that, we're actually having the ambulance become outside a extension of our emergency room so that we're not bringing that patient into the hospital, and then we don't have to have the cleaning crew put on the yet another full outfit of personal protective equipment to clean it. So everywhere that we can find a way to reduce our usage, we're doing. But having said that, with all those careful measures, we're doing okay at the moment. We're always looking at the supply lines search. The larger organization carefully goes through what is available where. There's storehouses in Juneau and Sitka. They're looking at the usage that happens out of every site, and making sure that to the best of their ability that there isn't any critical shortages. I think right now the biggest shortage we're having is things like wipes and hand pumps. But the actual PPE, as we call it, protective gear, at the moment we're doing okay.
Thank you.
Any other questions for me? I have one for you. We're community is feeling a sense that we can move on and get things opening up and moving forward, even in a staged manner. Do you have any advice for the community on that?
Yeah, actually, and this comes down to the question that I was hoping to bring forward to the community and the council. I understand two things. I understand that we haven't had a case yet, and everybody's been extremely good at following through with the advice from the state on travel restrictions and social distancing, and that is likely why we don't have a case yet, because across the state most people have been very good at that. I also understand that it's impossible to maintain that level of anxiety for as long as you do, and there is a sense that if we haven't had a case yet, maybe this is all overblown, and it's time to get back to work. I also understand that it's important for the economy that we look at ways that we can safely open things up. Unfortunately, we're sort of, there's no good answers here. I think to open things up for full steam ahead without careful measures means that we're taking significant risks. And I just want to make sure that everybody is making a decision on what level of risk are we willing to accept as a community. I know that this is an older community, means that the average percentage of people in the high risk age group down south is 16%. We're at 22%. I also know that the on average, if you're over the age of 80, regardless of how healthy you are, if you contract this disease, you've got a 1 in 4 chance of dying. I think that the recovery rates are pretty abysmal if you get to the point that you're on a ventilator, even in a intensive care unit in a large hospital. So with that in mind, I would say that every time a new individual comes into to town, they can be a silent carrier that we can't pick up. And with that brings a risk of spreading it to other people. And that's how these epidemics move forward. So knowing that the community is looking towards how do we get back to normal, I guess my question is, should we have a line in the sand? Should we say we should get back to normal until this? And then this is going to be fairly graphic, but this is what we'd be looking at in terms of if and when it comes to Wrangell and starts to spread. So would that line be with our first case in Wrangell? Would it be with the third case with community spread in Wrangell? Would it be with the first 25 cases? Would it be with our first hospitalization? Would it be with our fifth hospitalization? Would it be with our first death or our third death or our 10th death? What if we're moving forward with opening things up, what's our safe catch for that? What says, okay, whoops, we better pull back? Anyway, that's my question.
Okay, thanks. Does anybody have any follow-up thoughts or questions for Lynn? I see.
Thank you, Dr. Pazunka. I think it's a super important question for us to struggle with as a community. I don't think you wanted to answer from all of us right now, but I think that's a correct thing to pose and for us to think about. I would also pose back to you, is there a set of protocols? And let's just take the sea level example. I think it's probably our largest single influx of potential folks of 35 on June 1st. And given the potential to have, you know, between now and June 1st, to hopefully get additional testing supplies, can we set up a protocol where there's maybe two to three tests over a period of time, the legitimacy of the medical side of it, but is there a way to identify and be sure that people that came to the community were safe to remain in the community?
So there's sort of two ways of, Julie. There's the unfortunate reality that nothing is completely safe. So there's the possibility that somebody's a carrier and has too low a viral load when they're tested to be picked up as positive. There's also the unfortunate reality that although we've picked 14 days, there are a fair number of reports of people who have come up positive after that 14-day quarantine when they had no signs or symptoms. Nobody's got a really good, solid plan that I've seen on paper that says how to use rapid testing if you have a lot of it to try and keep your community safe. However, I do know that the Dr. Brule spoke with the epidemiologists up in Anchorage, and it's a reasonable plan if you have a sufficient amount of rapid testing and if you have a true compliance in maintaining social distancing and quarantine in between tests or for that 14 days, that you can test when people arrive and then you test again at 7 days. But it takes a number of things. It takes enough tests to be able to do that safely, and it takes somehow guaranteeing that during that extended period of time, 14 days, that people really are doing what they're supposed to do in terms of social distancing, not going out to the grocery store, maintaining 6 feet from others, wearing a mask, washing their hands regularly, reporting if they've got symptoms of a fever or even feel fluish or loss of sense of smell or loose stools or a dry cough or shortness of breath. So in a perfect world, we could with reasonable safety do it. Unfortunately, it's not always a perfect world, which is where I say, what level of risk are we as a community willing to accept? The other thing that would potentially make it safer, though, is if those 35 people were brought in cohorts. So you had one group come in through their quarantine, and then the next one comes in after 7 to 14 days, and they start. So you're not getting everybody coming in and needing those double tests right away. And you're also able to sort of manage if somebody gets sick or somebody comes in positive with symptoms, that you're not all of a sudden dealing with 25 people who have now been exposed to this person who's positive. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah, thank you very much for that. That's excellent information. Thanks.
Okay. Anybody else with a question for Lynn? Looking for any hands here. Lisa, thanks very much. Appreciate your update, Lynn. And we appreciate very much the work that the hospital is doing and the clinic and all of the staff. It's so appreciated. We know that it's stressful for all the staff there right now. So thank you very much. Lisa, did you want to follow up some more?
Mr. Mayor, did you say Lisa or Lisa?
I went with Lisa. City Manager Von Bargen.
Thank you. No, Mr. Mayor, I don't have anything else to add. Thank you.
We also have on the line our Fire Chief, Tim Buness, and our Police Chief, Tom Ratti, and Lisa. Does anybody have any questions specifically for any of those individuals? I'm not seeing any hands. Okay, I want to thank everybody that provided COVID update tonight. I think that was really valuable, and we will have this as a standing agenda item as we move forward with future meetings. So we'll look for that in the future. You want to continue on with your report, City Manager Von Bargen?
Mr. Mayor, the only other report that I would add, obviously, is that the Nolan Center newsletter is in the packet as well under my report. And we have, in addition to the next COVID update on Thursday, we also have a special meeting for the assembly to consider the school budget contribution. And I am working diligently to get that information to you tomorrow as soon as possible so that you have it.
Thank you very much. Any questions for City Manager Von Bargen? Okay, I don't see any hands and I'm not hearing anything. Bill Clerk's file.
Dr. Brzenka. I forgot to add one thing, if I could.
Please go ahead.
I just wanted to remind anybody who's listening that other diseases don't stop just because we have a COVID fear out there. And so know that the clinic is open for business. We're trying to do things by video if we can, just to reduce exposure. But if you have a problem or if you've got a chronic medical condition that needs follow-up, please call the clinic. We will get you appointments. It's not on an emergency basis. It's business pretty much as usual. It just might be by video.
All right. Thank you very much for that reminder for folks. Is that everything for you, Lynn?
Yes, it is. Thanks.
Thank you. Item 8A, Borough Clerk's report. Kim.
Sure, thank you. The only thing other than my report is that I did have a teleconference with AML and the Division of Elections, as well as the clerks around Alaska on Friday. And the topic of that discussion was elections. We have our primary election coming up in August, and then we have our city election in October, and then the general election in November. And so even though those are months away, there's discussion on the possibility of doing elections by mail. And if that happens, then I'll look at bringing an ordinance forward for the assembly to consider. Also, another option is that we do allow for ballots to be mailed to people or to registered voters. And so I know there are, this was a discussion that was had as well, is that there may be some people who are just nervous about getting out and about even months down the road. And so if they would like to have a ballot mailed to them when those times come, they can request a ballot be mailed to them through the state for the primary and the general. And for me, for the city elections, they can request that to me by email or email is probably the best, burke@wrangell.com. And I can get them on the list for that. And there'll be more information coming forward in the future. I just wanted to kind of get that out there so people know that that is a discussion that's being had. And that's all I have.
Thanks very much. Does anybody have any questions for Kim? Your hands here. Oh, okay. Moving on, item number 10.
Looks like Julie had a question for me.
Oh, great. Go ahead, Assemblymember Decker.
Oh, thank you. I just wanted to ask the clerk if in your report on in writing, you had mentioned what the chamber is doing about local businesses. And for the public listening, can you mention that as well for folks that are out of work?
Sure. So the Chamber of Commerce here in Wrangell, they on their website, you can log on to their website, which is Wrangell, www.wranglechamber.org. And there is a, if you click on that page, there's a COVID page that has what all of the businesses in Wrangell are doing, temporary closures, limitations, and such, and if they are hiring, and just different options for the public.
Thanks, Kim. And you can, I think you were saying this as well, but you can, if you are unemployed and you are looking for work, the chamber has set up a page, or they're keeping and maintaining a list of available workers in the community. And this is important because one of the strategies moving forward that's been in discussion is the possibility of utilizing more local labor force. And I've been in meetings or discussions with Rocky from C-Level, and he's making a concerted push forward to hire locals for the plant. And of course, that helps out with our capacity issue at our hospital when we're not bringing workers in for the plant. We're not adding to the overall potential demand. So if you have skills, and if you are unemployed, or if you want to have a job and you don't have currently have a job, get your name on that list, because there's going to be various things that come along where people will need a labor force. So we are planning ahead there, and hopefully that will fall through. Assemblymember Decker, is that where you were kind of heading with part of that too? Assemblymember Decker, are you on mute? I think we may have
Sorry.
No problem.
Mute challenged again over here on the side. Yes, that was exactly what I intended. I think it's always good to keep bringing it up. The more focus we can put on that, the better.
Absolutely. And I think there, if the state doesn't, if nothing comes out with the state, this just makes life easier for everyone. And Rocky actually told me that his preference was to hire locals because doesn't have to pay for them to travel up here, and housing is not as big an issue. So I think we just need to keep in mind that that's something that's going on. But thank you very much, Kim, for your update. Sure. Number nine. Sorry, did anybody?
I think Assemblymember DeLong wanted to speak.
Yeah, Assemblymember DeLong, go ahead.
Hi, yes, I'd like to speak to this. And I know Caleb's on the line right now, so we have the ear of the Sentinel. So I think it's a good idea for the chamber to put out their own updates on what businesses are doing, but I think this is a pretty paramount story for the Sentinel to take hold of. I know that you're asking for advertisements for businesses to pay into, but I think we owe a lot of the businesses that right just to get coverage on what businesses are doing, because it's important and it is news. So I encourage the Sentinel to get in touch with the chamber to have a full coverage story on what businesses are doing, what pivots they're making, how much they are getting creative around all of this, because all of our businesses are really showing up and showing out. So the Sentinel, I think it's a good idea for them to take hold of this along with what the chamber's doing.
Thanks very much, Assemblymember DeLong. Anybody else? And again, looking for any hands here. Sorry, Kim, your messages are getting to me just a bit late. I don't know if we have a delay, but keep them coming. All right.
Okay.
I think we can move on, Kim, unless you have anything or the borough manager has a do-over.
I don't have anything. Don't know about Lisa.
Okay, sounds good. Item 9, mayor and assembly business. Does anybody have any? Not seen any. I'll just mention that I've been in contact with mayors in the region. Our borough is not the only one wrestling with Julie, do you want to go first? I'll let you go first. Julie, Assemblymember Decker, go ahead.
Okay. So I just wanted to say that any commercial fishing businesses online or listening, the state will be moving forward with a mandate about vessels. So please see that. It'll have a set of requirements. It's still unclear how those will be whether there'll be an attached agreement that has to be signed by vessel owners as well. There will be stringent penalties if they're not followed. I think it shows the importance that even though fishing vessels are isolated when they're at sea, they come back to communities, which is where they're actually highest risk is of contracting the virus, and then the fishing vessels go and move around. So I think, we as the state recognizes the important roles of fishing, but also the risks involved. And so they want to make it very clear what the expectations are on board vessels, and they will be different than any other year you've experienced. So, but there'll be time to educate yourselves about that. And if you have already submitted a plan for your independent vessel owner, I believe this mandate will supersede that. Stay tuned for that. It should be later this week, if not early next week.
Thank you, Assemblymember Decker. Anybody else with an update? Okay. Just mentioning that I have been in conversation with mayors around our region, and all communities are wrestling with the same questions about when do you open up for business, and how do we prevent jumping the gun, and how do you have transient workforces coming through your community? It's not unique to Wrangell. It's Sitka, which is having a very contentious meeting tonight, other communities. It's tough to wrestle with. What I think the feedback from our two speakers tonight is good feedback, and we need to be looking forward and having those tough discussions that we were challenged with by Lynn. But just to know, our consternation is shared by almost every community. I would even imagine Anchorage, although I haven't talked to the mayor there. But these are issues we're all wrestling with, and I know that the city manager is spending days trying to sort this out. So we're in good company, what I'm saying. Any other comments? Oh, Assemblymember Powell.
Well, it's not my way to keep silent. So Lynn raised a lot of, Dr. Prasunka raised a lot of concerns and everything. I understand. I manage a couple of companies in Wrangell that, you know, one's closed and one is open. And I understand what the two other community members were saying about trying to open everything back up. And that's where it gets hard for us as assembly members and the mayor. We have a hard task and there's no good answer to it. So I would like to, if any community member has an idea or anything like that, I'm open up for that discussion at any time. I don't like the odds of 1 in 4 of our older community dying. I mean, that weighs on me a lot. So just to put that out there, anybody out there in the community has any ideas or anything like that to make things easier, come talk to one of us.
Well, I may even, talking to an assembly member is great, and I encourage that for sure. And if you have some ideas or you see that things are working too, definitely get them to the city manager or through the clerk. And it helps if you have ideas, put them on paper so that you're not sort of fleshing out your idea while you're talking to the person. But definitely, I think that's a great idea, assembly member. And the more collective brains, the better.
Mr. Mayor?
I'm not sure who that is. Is that Ann?
Yes, it is.
Assemblymember Morrison, go ahead.
Can we open up businesses that have been closed by the state before they raise that closure?
I'm going to let the city manager handle that.
The answer to that question is no, we are not able to do that. There's been a mandated closure by the state. The state is the only one that can rescind that or make that change.
That's what I thought.
I will say, though, that Attachment A under critical workforce infrastructure clearly states that any business that can conduct business while practicing social distancing, and that is defined clearly in the order, and do business where there are less than 10 people in the business at any given time, including employees, is considered critical workforce and may operate. So to Assemblymember DeLong's point that businesses are stepping up and coming up with alternative ways of doing business, there certainly are alternatives.
Sure, okay.
I think one of the questions is always, when you open back up, that for, you know, we have a shelter in place order where we ask people not to go out unless absolutely necessary. And when we open back up, that's one of the factors that we have to consider, is that as you open up businesses, people will start to go to businesses and that creates more social contact and so on. Mm-hmm. But definitely, I think the plan is that we need to get a plan going and have some ideas. I'm going to be honest. I think we have been very focused on our response. And as you've heard Lynn say, there's not a lot of capacity at that hospital. So that is a concern for us. But we're going to be faced more and more with getting things rolling. And we have to make that choice. I think we have to look at the science that is available to us. We're being told by the state epidemiologist that to expect a wave coming up here pretty quick. And so we'll see if that materializes. But that's the kind of data that the city manager is looking at continuously and meeting with her EOC. So there you go. Anybody else for, I don't want to drift too much here. Any other comments, mayor and assembly business? Number 9, I don't see anyone. I apologize, you guys. There's a huge amount of people online here. Mayor and assembly appointments. There are none. Excuse me while I get to my, I apologize, folks. I just lost my standby, please. I apologize. I just had a complete failure of my packet went away. So I just have to get back to that packet. Stand by 1 second. And of course, my internet will crawl now.
Steve?
Yes.
While you're doing that, I have a thought. While you're looking for that. What is the possibility of when we get into the budget work of meeting at City Hall in the assembly room with only the assembly, the clerk, and the city manager present? We could sit 6-8 feet apart.
Okay, what I'm gonna do is ask that you take that up with Lisa,
okay,
and bring it forward. My preference is, I, given my own personal health concerns, I will not do that just because I think I would put myself at risk. But if you speak with the city manager and
okay, see, it was just thought, because that's going to be an interesting experience.
It is. It's difficult, and I appreciate it. So much easier to be in person. All right, so we're going to move on to the work session at this point. I am going to, this is regarding a modification to contract zone agreement allowing a third storage unit building on lot C of the Torkenson Glasner subdivision, plat number 20162, to zone light industrial per the original contract zone agreement requested by owner Don Glasner. I'm going to declare the public hearing open, and I'll ask if there's any administration reports.
Mr. Mayor, there is no report beyond what is in the agenda.
Is there any person?
Unless there is.
Okay, sorry. I didn't quite hear that last part. I apologize, Lisa.
Unless there are particular questions of clarification.
Is there any questions of clarification for the city manager? And I'm not seeing any hands up. Kim, is there anybody for persons to be heard on this item?
No, there's not.
Okay. Well, seeing no questions or any persons to be heard, I will declare this public hearing closed. And there is a recommended motion.
I recommend move to a modification to a contract zone agreement allowing a third storage unit building on lot C, Torgrimson Glasner subdivision, plat number 2016-2, zoned light industrial per the original contract zone agreement.
Been moved. Do we have a second?
Second.
Been seconded. And Lisa, sorry, Kim, you got who seconded it?
I did. Powell.
Powell, thank you. Any discussion? Not seeing any hands up and hearing none. Full vote, please.
Assembly members DeLong?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
Larrabee?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
And Mayor Prasanka?
Yes. Item 12, unfinished business, there is none. Item 13A is the approval of a contract award to Heller High Water LLC in the amount of $67,000 for the City Dock Summer Float Procurement Project rebid. Recommended motion on page 76.
Move to approve a contract award Heller High Water LLC in the amount of $67,000 for the City Dock Summer Float Procurement Project rebid.
Second.
Second.
And you have a second on that, Kim?
I do. I have Assemblymember DeLong.
Yes. Thank you.
Discussion? I don't see any hands up. Lisa, do you have any comments on this or administrative information?
No, Mr. Mayor, it's fairly self-explanatory. There was an issue with being able to procure a specified type of material that was in the original bid documents. And given it occurred, our attorney's recommendation was to rebid the project, which is what was done. And so we are now back with the new bid and trying to award that as expeditiously as possible.
Okay. Any further questions for Lisa on this? All right, seeing none. Poll vote, please, Kim.
Okay, Assemblymember Stecker?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
Larrabee?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
DeLong?
Yes.
And Mayor Prasanka?
Yes. Item 14, the attorney files available for assembly review. We usually say in the borough clerk's office, but maybe if there's something in the file and somebody's interested in seeing that, Kim, perhaps we can practice good social distancing and have you just send an electronic copy to them. Item 15, executive session, there is none. Item 16, adjournment, and we will adjourn at 2 p.m. Thank you, everybody. Appreciate your patience as I stumbled through tonight.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.